This is the show that goes like this with Ben Simmons.
Broadcasting to Brentwood, Billericay and the world, this is Phoenix FM.
If you want to run away with me, I know a galaxy and I can take you for a ride.
Green, green grass, blue, blue sky. You better throw a party on a day.
And tonight had something wonderful. I only asked you to show me a real good time.
Oh, yes, it is. Hello once again. A big welcome, everybody, to the show that goes like this with me, Ben Simmons, with you now up until 8 o'clock tonight on Phoenix 98 FM and PhoenixFM.com, and ask your smart speaker to play Phoenix FM. If you want the video feed into the studio, that's available on Mixcloud.com. Again, search for Phoenix 98 FM and you'll find us. And if you have a Mixcloud account, you can join in the chat at the box on the side. How's your Tuesday treating you? It's all been good for me. I was in London earlier today, came back and enjoyed getting back slightly before rush hour. Was slightly smug about the trains being a little bit more empty. And breaking news, in case you haven't heard it, I say breaking news, I think it first was discovered about 3 or 4 hours ago that the tube strikes tomorrow have been called off. I think overground strikes are still taking place, but tube strikes have been called off. So that is something if you're travelling in and around London tomorrow. Fabulous. What to expect from the show that goes like this tonight, then? Well, celebrity birthdays will feature. We sent Scott Fish to a major sporting event over the weekend. Our roving reporter will be reporting back in about 25 minutes' time. We'll once again hear later on from Prediction Master. There will be an intense debate raging throughout the show. Now, I have to tell you, there are many holidays celebrated today, and we'll come to those later, but obviously, after what went on last weekend in the Premier League, those of you that know I'm a fan of Liverpool Football Club will know I am smarting after the extreme injustice of the weekend. And I've seen articles pointing out many clear and obvious errors, ironically, that video assistant referees have made since VAR was introduced to the Premier League. But that has to be one of the worst of all time so far, doesn't it? Unbelievable. Yes, there are some subjective decisions where you're not sure if it's a handball or not, how far up someone's arm was it, you know, was it an intentional foul, have they gone in trying to hurt someone or not. But offside, yes, we've seen those stupid offsides where they draw lines on the pitch and it's someone's shoulder or elbow by a fraction of a millimetre makes them on or offside. But really, that was really onside, and for a decision not to be altered after that because the game had restarted after the error. Very, very upsetting. Can we come to terms with it? I'm not sure. I will be dealing with that musically throughout the show. VAR made a mistake. Britney foreshadowed it many years ago.
Did it again. I made you believe we're more than just friends. Oh baby, it might seem like a crush, but it doesn't mean that I'm serious. 'Cause to dreaming away, wishing that heroes they truly exist. I cry watching the days. Can't you see I'm a fool in so many ways?
before you go, there's something I want you to have.
Oh, it's beautiful. But wait a minute, isn't this?
Yeah, yes it is.
But I thought the old lady dropped it into the ocean in the air.
Well, baby, I went down and got it for you.
Oh, you shouldn't have.
FM.
Oops, I did it again. Is that what Darren England and the VAR team are thinking to themselves today? I've seen all kinds of conspiracy theories. I've seen, as a Liverpool fan, there's probably equally photos that could disprove this. But there's, I remember, was it last year? I think it was the season we were had a chance of doing the quadruple and had to win the final game of the Premier League season away at Wolves and hope that Man City slipped up at home to Aston Villa, and Man City went 2-0 down and then got three goals to win and won the league by 1 point. That season, earlier on in about the February or March, there was Everton versus Man City at Goodison Park, and there was a clear handball from Rodri that was not awarded on VAR. And had that been awarded, Man City would have dropped 2 points, bearing in mind they beat us by 1 point in the league that year. Then, yeah, so they could have, actually Liverpool could have won the league that year, and then who knows, they'd already won both cups, were probably disappointed at not winning the league and gave an under par performance in the Champions League final against Real Madrid, losing 1-0. Had they won the league and already won three trophies, could they have gone on to become the first team to do the quadruple? We will never know. Also, a few years back, there's more offside injustice that's been seen against Liverpool in a season where they lost the league by 1 point. I think it was 2013-14, we lost the league by 2 points. And I think it was 17-18, we lost the league by 1 point. And then 21-22, we lost the league by 1 point. And one of those years, I think it was 17-18, it was the highest score a team has ever achieved in the Premier League to not win it. 96 points was not enough to win the league. There's maybe some bitterness on my part permeating the show tonight, but we're only going to deal with it musically, you know, and maybe the intense debate. Actually, I'll tell you the intense debate that's raging on the Twitterverse. I'm still calling it Twitter while the web domain is at twitter.com, whether it's X or otherwise. But yes, if you go to the @BenSimRadio profile on Twitter, you will find a poll simply asking, should VAR be scrapped, yes or no? High profile errors, but should we get rid of it and go back to that old system? Remember, we wanted some kind of video system introduced because of all the errors that happened previously. Well, it's up to you, lovely leg end listeners. Get yourself on Twitter @BenSimRadio, single click or tap to cast your vote. Should VAR be scrapped, bearing in mind various high profile errors that have come to pass in recent times? So yes, we will be finding out the results of that poll just before I go off the air at 8 o'clock. It would be great if you get interactive and cast your vote as soon as possible at Benson Radio. Should VAR be scrapped? Is VAR an overwhelming success? Is it always going to be controversial? Or is it, to the lawmakers of the British football scene, their favourite mistake? Tenuous link, I don't really care.
Ooh.
radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Sheryl Crow and My Favourite Mistake. I tell you what, at the weekend, it wasn't my favourite mistake when Liverpool's goal was incorrectly ruled out. Just taken down to 10 men and then being able to take a 1-0 lead could have made an entirely different result on that game. Yes, what a harsh way to lose. I do realise this probably a case of karma there, because last year we were 3-0 up against Tottenham. Tottenham got it back to 3-3 and then Diogo Jota scored in something like the 94th, 95th minute. So, you know, heartbreak of an own goal for Joel Matip there so that we lost the game, but always going to be controversial with those decisions that were made. The red cards as well. Curtis Jones, not too short. Diogo Jota, did he touch the player on either of his bookings? I don't think he certainly didn't on the first one, and it's debatable whether he did on the second one. I don't understand why you can get red cards appealed against, and if yellow cards build up into a red card, you can't appeal a yellow card. Why is that? I don't understand. If there's some sort of injustice, if video proves that somebody dived or wasn't touched or tripped over their own feet and wasn't fouled, I don't understand why you can't appeal against a yellow card. I guess because they're trying to... Red cards are more infrequent. Yellow cards happen all the time. Maybe they're worried about the time it would take to go through applications for yellow cards to be rescinded. I don't know. But anyway, throughout the rest of the programme, I'm going to examine some of the most controversial incidents that have ever happened in the Premier League in England. Sports fans will remember most of them, I'm sure, but yeah, maybe triggering for some people. So there we go. We're going to revisit some controversy, which is always good. As I said, Scott Fish, in about 10 or 12 minutes' time, will be reporting from Italy, from the scene of the Ryder Cup. It's done, it's dusted, Europe were victorious. But what has Scott got to tell us about what went on behind the scenes? More controversy there, wasn't there? There was some bad feeling between the Europeans and the Americans. In particular, Rory McIlroy getting very riled up with one caddy in particular. We'll see just how close to that Scott Fish managed to get and what he can let us know about all the goings-on last weekend at the Marco Simone Golf and Country Club in Rome. It will be interesting to hear from him. Fabulous. Yes, like I said, Prediction Master will be back in the second hour of the show. And the intense debate already on the Twitterverse, should VAR be scrapped, yes or no? There's a poll running at Ben Sim Radio on Twitter. Get to that, single click or tap on whatever device you're using to cast your vote. Get interactive. Yes, we're going to have another track. We may try and squeeze in celebrity birthdays, but I'm not sure if we'll have time before we're going to hear from Scott Fish. So, okay, a couple of tracks, then Scott will be here live on this very station, although he's in Italy. Hopefully he's gone to the right place this week, although I do believe he has, which is marvellous. Okay, well, all the tracks, remember, inspired by the goings-on at the weekend, and thanks to your suggestions, we're featuring some great music tonight. I wanted to start with Britney, and then Sheryl Crow was suggested by Stuart James on social media in the run-up for the show. Thank you, Stuart. And another Stuart, Stuart Anthony, suggested this next one. R.E.M. Losing, thanks, Stuart, My Religion. I thought that I heard
whisper. Every waking hour, I'm choosing my confessions. Trying to keep eye on you, like a hurt, lost, and blind.
Phoenix FM.
REM and Losing My Religion. They're fabulous. So it's the show that goes like this with me, Ben Simmons. I haven't told you about any of the wacky holidays that occur on this day, the 3rd of October. Did you know, for instance, today is Global Smoothie Day? Have a smoothie and be pleased you're having it on the correct day of the year to have it. Global Smoothie Day. Doesn't matter what country of the world you're in, have a smoothie. Marvellous. It's also National Butterfly and Hummingbird Day. When you think about it, as species, butterfly and hummingbirds are quite different. Hummingbird, a very tiny example of a bird. Butterfly, a flying insect. Yes, they both fly. Yes, the hummingbird is small and probably the similar size to some butterflies, but I find that a bit weird. Butterfly and Hummingbird Day. And who knows, tomorrow might be Crocodile and Iguana Day. They're vaguely similar. Zebra and Horse Day? Maybe I could see those being linked. Anyway, I don't know why that annoys me, but it annoys me. Also, who could forget this one? It is as well National Fruit at Work Day. Don't have fruit at home, take it to work and enjoy it. If you always take fruit to work, be pleased with yourself. Again, it's the correct day. I don't know why that has to be a thing. National Fruit at Work Day. Brilliant. Yes, of course, as well, all week this week, and who could forget this one? It's Skincare Awareness Week. Skincare Awareness Week. Why? Why does it exist? Aren't people careful with their skin every day of every week of the year? I don't know. People just throw caution to the wind skin-wise. Dermatologists all over the world are livid every week other than this week when people are aware of skincare. I don't know why. Again, it annoys me. Again, it exists. And of course, who could forget October? Every single year, October, of course, is Crime Prevention Month. I'm sorry, what? Crime Prevention Month? Don't we want to prevent crime always? No, highlight it in October. You know, people leave your front doors open all the other months, but October, get that mortise locked as well. Crime Prevention Month in October. I don't understand. Very, very annoying. Crime. If you've been a victim of crime, I'm sorry. We've all probably been victims of crime at some point, somehow, somewhere, some way. But, you know, I had my debit card cloned one time and money taken out of my account. Yes, I was a victim of crime. If it had happened in October, could I have prevented it? Would I have been more aware? Crime Prevention Month in October. Don't be so utterly ridiculous. Right, we're going to have another track. Then we're going to find out what Scott Fish has made of the Ryder Cup. I'm excited. Maybe the Americans would be wishing they could play this song and have it mean something. Maybe the VAR officials at Tottenham Hotspur last week would be thinking the same. Here's Cher. Check complete. Anything you want to do?
If I could turn back time, if I could find a way, I'd take back those words that hurt you, and you'd stay. I don't know why I did the things I did. I don't know why I said the things I said. Rides like a knife, it can cut deep inside. Words are like weapons, they wound sometimes. I didn't really mean to hurt you.
I take back those words.
community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
That was Cher, of course, and if I could turn back time. Now, our roving reporter, Scott Fish, attended the Ryder Cup in Rome last weekend. It was a very exciting event. Europe dominated the first couple of days. Then the controversy began. Endorsements, photographs, caps, car park incidents, standing in the line of putts, passion, winning, losing, it's all been happening. What has Scott Fish made of it all? Let's get him on the line and find out.
Where did he go? Nobody knows. He's a roving reporter. Where did he go? Nobody
cares.
He's a roving reporter.
On
Phoenix 98 FM.
Well, I think the aftermath of the Ryder Cup is still not really dying down, but our roving reporter is still in Rome. Got a little bit caught up in the furore of the Ryder Cup. The one and only Scott Fish!
Ben, good to hear your voice. Ciao! as we say here.
Yes, yes, you do say that there, don't you?
Because, Ben, I'm in Rome. And I have checked with you and your personal assistant and your office and your staff, and that is where you wanted me to be.
It is. We wanted you to go to the Ryder Cup, enjoy the Ryder Cup, report back on the Ryder Cup. A European win was widely predicted beforehand. That came to pass. But the Ryder Cup wasn't without its controversy, was it? I'm glad we sent you there, Scott.
Oh, Ben, I mean, I've got to say, when you said the Ryder Cup, I thought, oh, there were so many opportunities for me to get this wrong. But I went to the Ryder Cup in Rome. I spent time with the players, got to talk to them, got to interview them. And I just had an absolutely brilliant time. So, first of all, I just want to thank you and Phoenix FM for sending me out there, because I really enjoyed myself. I had a great made some great friends who are going to be friends for life.
That's wonderful to hear, Scott. You know, that's the thing about the Ryder Cup, the camaraderie. Golf is normally an individual sport. You're battling everyone else in the field.
Yeah.
Very rarely do you have sort of team play like that. And it does in sort of induce a big feeling of sort of togetherness and camaraderie. Great that you felt a part of that, because one of the major talking points, Scott, is obviously the altercation that occurred between Rory McIlroy and Patrick Cantlay's caddy, Joe LaCava. And obviously, yeah, you'd have seen that up close and personal, really. Can you give
seen
us any...
Seen it up close and personal, Ben? You won't believe, even though I'm a European and they're Americans, they invited me out for drinks before the tournament.
That's amazing.
I was out drinking with Patrick Cantlay and Joe LaCava just before the tournament started. We had an amazing time. We went out for dinner. And now, obviously, we had a bit of a problem because Patrick couldn't pay, because, of course, he's not getting paid for playing in the Ryder Cup. But, you know, I thought, well, I could use my expenses, my per diems from Phoenix FM, and I bought him a hamburger, so he was very pleased.
So what? You used Phoenix FM's petty cash to buy food for Patrick Cantlay? That's amazing.
We all went out for dinner, Ben, we had a lovely time, and I got to talk to them one-to-one for their business purposes.
Nicely put. Yeah, that's tax deductible. Well done. But, you know, the controversy always was there, but arose mainly because Patrick Cantlay obviously felt bad. You're right, he wasn't getting paid. They don't get paid to play in the Ryder Cup, but he's a professional golfer. He's got a decent wedge, I would imagine. But, interesting that there was that photo of him not wearing a cap in the team photo before the tournament.
Well, he has got a decent wedge. He's got a lovely putter as well. Some wonderful golf clubs he has. And, I've got to say, Ben, having spoken to Patrick at length before the tournament, he was a... I mean, I'm going to say it on the air, he was a bit miffed. He was.
Yeah.
And, obviously, he didn't bother with the cap. And it was funny, really. I sort of... I mean, I'm sure he, you know, he'd obviously, as you say, as a professional, had made up his mind. But I actually hinted to him that maybe, you know, what's the point of wearing a sponsor's cap if you're not getting paid? But I was sort of saying it like a joke, you know. So, I mean, I'm sure he didn't sort of take it from me.
Hang on a minute, Scott. Is there a chance that you put the thought into Patrick Cantlay's head not to wear a cap in that photo?
I would have thought. Bit controversial, Ben. I've actually got someone at the door. This is going to be interesting. Hang on a second.
Right.
Hello. So, Ben, what I've actually got here is a Sainsbury's delivery is coming right in the middle of the. Of the live call.
That's unfortunate. You're still in Rome, aren't you, though, Scott? You've had a Sainsbury's delivery to Rome.
They will deliver pretty much anywhere, completely. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I can understand Deliveroo or Uber Eats or something, but you must really like your Sainsbury's own brands to get them sent out to where you are.
Absolutely.
Amazing. Well, that's great. Great value. Obviously, we can't. The other supermarkets are available for delivery to European countries, you know, so.
That'd be great. He's just going to. The driver's just going to take it up, so that's good.
Lovely. Right. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, I mean, we are broadcasting, Scott. You know, we can hold a little bit, you know, it's fine.
Excellent.
Just for research purposes, what's in any of the shopping you've ordered, Scott?
Well, I've ordered a few things, yeah.
Right, yeah. You don't have to tell us individual things. I just thought it might be vaguely entertaining for the listeners, you know.
Probably not, no.
Right, okay.
Right. Got that. That's free milk. Good.
Scott Fish here, ladies and gentlemen. He is reporting live from Rome, a hotel just on the outskirts, fairly near the Marco Simone Golf and Country Club where the Ryder Cup just happened. And the reason there's a delay in our broadcast, he was getting a Sainsbury's delivery. I do just need to quickly check, Scott, again for business purposes. You didn't use...
Ciao, reporter.
You didn't... Hang on, Scott. You didn't use Phoenix FM petty cash for that Sainsbury's delivery. That was your own money, wasn't it?
This is a business meal. I've actually got the guys from the American team coming over. So Patrick is coming over and Joe are coming over for a supper.
Well, I did
here in Rome. I've got a lovely villa which is overlooking the Forum. So,
have you?
Yep.
I thought it was just a 80 euro a night hotel we put you up in.
There is a lot going on.
There really is a lot going on. Yeah. Now, Scott, I do just want to find out from you. You say you've got them coming over tonight. Obviously, the caddies don't normally get into the limelight in the Ryder Cup, or certainly much golf anyway. But Joe LeCarver,
Joe's a household name now. You know, it's, he's well known throughout the world now for that little contretemps, and he's coming over basically to tell me the story. Also just show me some of the bruises that he got in the car park, you know.
Well, he certainly incensed Rory McIlroy treading in the line of his putt there, you know, and winding
up. Funny, because I've said to Joe what would be really funny is because I obviously had got to talk to Rory as well, and he was saying he hates when people are in his eye line.
Yeah.
So I thought it would be quite a funny joke. Now, I am certain Joe didn't do it because I'd said it, but I actually said to him, it would be, he hates it when you sort of distract his eye line and sort of do something. And so because of the whole cap controversy, he went, oh my God, I could even wave my cap, and we laughed, Ben. We laughed.
Right,
about that,
Scott. Let me just check this. There's a chance that it was at your suggestion Patrick Cantlay didn't wear the cap in the first place, and you're now saying there's a chance that another one of your suggestions you wound up Joe Le Carver to do what he did on that 18th green.
Is there a chance? Yes. did they do what I said? Yes. Is it likely that I've caused a major international sporting incident? Yes. Are sort of relations between England and America ever really going to repair? Yes. do you know what? I have forgotten what my point was, me saying that.
No, it's Scott, as ever, I mean, it's been wonderful to talk to you. You've gone to the right place. You've got very...
I'm in the right place. I spoke to the people. I was there on the ground. Ben, I was doing the job you asked me to. So in many ways, you're responsible for everything that happened.
Well, I'm sure it'll all come out of the wash. And you know what they say, Scott, when in Rome... You know, you certainly listen to those
words. That's what they say.
I'm really still flummoxed as to how that's got out to you. But anyway, we'll deal with that on the debrief. Scott, anything final to add before we let you go tonight?
I've got some lovely Italian groceries here. Some Sainsbury's tomatoes in Italy are absolutely wonderful.
Yes, of course, I do have to say other supermarkets are available. Italy has its own supermarkets. Also, there's the likes of Tesco's, Aldi's, Morrison's, Lidl's, Waitrose. You know, plenty of other options there. We don't favour any...
But I went to Sainsbury's, and I've actually got a cap with Sainsbury's written on it, and I've got a few, actually, from Sainsbury's. I gave one to Patrick, I gave one to Joe.
Okay,
My mates, my buddies, my oppos, as I like to call them.
Scott, just for advertising standard reasons, we're going to have to let you go there, but thank you so much for being
live. Sainsbury's are brilliant. Every little Sainsbury's helps.
Yeah, we'll see you soon, Scott. Bye for now. Thanks, Scott. Scott Fish there, ladies and gentlemen. Let's put a song on. Scott, go, please, just go. The song, what is it?
Gotta go and get angry at all of my honesty. You know I try, but I don't do too well with apologies. I hope I don't run out of time, cause someone call a referee. Cause I just need one more shot, have forgiveness. I know you know that I made those mistakes maybe once or twice. About once or twice, I mean maybe a couple of hundred times. So let me redeem or redeem on myself tonight. Cause I just need one more shot, second chance. Is it too late now to say sorry? Cause I'm missing more than just your body. Oh, is it too late now to say sorry? Take every single piece of the blame if you want me to. But you know that there is no innocent one in this game for two. I go, and then you go out and spill the truth. Can we both say the words and forget this? Yeah. Is it too late now to say sorry? Cause I'm missing more than just your body. Oh. Say sorry. Yeah, I know that I let you down. Is it too late to say sorry now? I'm not just trying to get you back on me.
just because he didn't get it at the end of his report, we ended it quite hastily. Here's Scott Fish's end jingle.
Where did he go? Nobody knows. He's a roving reporter. Where did he go? Nobody
cares.
He's a roving reporter.
On
Phoenix 98 FM.
And I have to say, if you were offended by any of the supermarkets mentioned in Scott Fish's segment there, then please get in touch in the usual way and we'll do our best to console you. Right, that was Justin Bieber and Sorry. Scott Fish reported from the Marco Simone Golf and Country Club in Rome, the scene of the Ryder Cup and all the shenanigans out there. Scott Fish having a lovely meal with some of the American team still left in Rome, still carrying on their commiserations with each other, I suppose. Anyway, thanks to Scott for that report. We will be having a debrief soon and reminding him of broadcasting responsibilities. Anyway, it's Tuesday. It's the 3rd of October. It's all fabulous. I do like to bring you breaking news where possible on this show. And obviously, a lot of the show musically is to deal with the VAR error that occurred at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, Spurs versus Liverpool last Saturday at around about 6 o'clock. And Liverpool demanded the audio recording between the VAR officials and the on-field officials be released. And that has just been released into the public domain. I haven't heard the whole thing, but Sky are reporting the following. The VAR audio from the Luis Diaz wrongly disallowed goal for Liverpool at Tottenham has been released by the PGMOL, revealing the radio operator was the only person to tell the officials to stop the game and award the goal. So we all know Diaz was flagged offside after scoring, but replay showed he was actually well onside, but the goal was still ruled out. And we know that the VAR official mistakenly believed the goal had been awarded in the stadium, which is why they didn't try and get them to reverse any decision. Now, once the on-field officials were alerted to their mistake by the radio operator and the VAR, they repeatedly said they could not intervene as the game had restarted. Darren England said, "Can't do anything," as the radio operator asked for the game to be delayed. That is the breaking sports news. None of the officials were aware that the game ought to be stopped or would not allow it to be stopped again because it had restarted after the initial error had taken place. A lot of people speculating there was a throw-in that took place about 20-odd seconds after the incident, and that throw-in was delayed for about 20 seconds, clearly, while the officials were talking to each other. Whether more will come out in due course, who knows, but I'm sure it will be available for you all to hear if you go to various sites and apps and whatever, but the VAR audio has been released into the public domain, so get listening to that if you're at all interested. I'll be listening to the full thing later on this evening. There we go. Interesting. It's the show that goes like this with me, Ben Simmons. I always enjoy listening to sport. We always enjoy a bit of controversy in sport, don't we? There's definitely been that over the weekend at the Ryder Cup and in the Premier League. So musically, we're dealing with mistakes, things that have been wrong, apologies, therefore, to try and come to terms with what happened over the weekend. So here's a little bit of ABBA.
Knowing me, knowing you. FM.
ABBA with the classic Knowing Me, Knowing You, suggested by Paul Saunders. Thanks very much, Paul. Also, quite a while ago now, and I never gave you the credit, Sue Burton wanted to hear Cher's If I Could Turn Back Time. So we got that on the airwaves for you as well there, Sue. Thanks so much for all your suggestions on social media in the run-up to tonight's show. So yes, the VAR audio has now been released. News of that coming just a few minutes ago, so have a look. I'm sure you'll find it on various apps, TV channels and online areas. So yes, it'll be available for everyone to find out what actually went on the audio between the officials and the VAR officials too. Right, moving on from that, there are some celebrity birthdays that occur on the 3rd of October. Do you want to know about them? Well, you're going to. Who is celebrating today? Well, we've talked about football a lot. Zlatan Ibrahimovic is 42 today. Actress Tessa Thompson is 40 today. Singer Gwen Stefani is 54 today. Actress Alicia Vikander is 35 today. Motley Crue drummer and former partner of Pamela Anderson, Tommy Lee, is 61 today. Game of Thrones actress, the evil Cersei Lannister, Lena Headey, is 50 today. Actor Sean William Scott is 47 today. And another actor, Clive Owen, is 59 today. Those are your celebrity birthdays. And of course, if it's your birthday on the 3rd of October, very many happy returns to you from the whole team here at the show that goes like this on Phoenix FM. Thanks for sharing part of your day with us on these airwaves, 98.0 if you're in Brentwood, Billericay or the surrounding areas, and phoenixfm.com if you're not. More music coming. Sporting apologies, will they be coming? Well, we've already had an apology. Doesn't give you any more points though, does it? Here's Joe Cocker.
What have I gotta do to make you love me? What have I gotta do to make you care? What do I do when lightning strikes me and the way to find you're not there? What do I do to make you want me? What have I got to do to be heard? What do I say when it's all over? And sorry seems to be
the harness work. It's sad, so sad. It's a sad, sad situation, and it's getting more and more uncertain. Seems to be the hardest word.
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Sorry seems to be the hardest word, obviously originally by Elton John. That was Joe Cocker doing it, and that was suggested by Steve Williamson. So thanks very much for that, Steve. While that track was on, I did do exhaustive research on your behalf, lovely Leg End listeners, and listened to the VAR official audio from the Spurs-Liverpool incident over the weekend. As a Liverpool fan, it's quite annoying because, yes, the... One of the technicians reminds all the officials that the actual decision that has been made was that it was offside when in fact it wasn't. They said check complete, mistakenly believing that the decision in the stadium was to award the goal rather than the offside. And then rather than stop the game, it's being suggested to them all the time for about 30 seconds afterwards. Delay the game, delay the game, delay the game. The fourth official wants to delay the game, delay the game. And they say they can't do anything because the game has restarted. They can't do anything. I think with hindsight, everybody would rather the game was stopped. It was fortunate that no major incident occurred in the next minute or so. You know, if another goal had been scored, if a foul had been given, if a card had been given out, I don't know, if a penalty had been awarded or something like that, it would have been very strange to bring the game back and award a goal. But with very little going on, I think with hindsight, it would have been common sense to allow the goal to stand. But, you know, I did say there's a WhatsApp group my friends and I belong to with a bit of football banter going on whenever Premier League games are being played. And even as a Liverpool fan, I did say it would open up such a can of worms if you ever got into the realms of the game needs to be replayed, we need to award an extra point after the game has gone on. You know, you can't do that. As long as football has been played, officials have made mistakes. You know, players make mistakes all the time. Officials make mistakes. Everyone hopes they get it right. Everyone hopes there isn't a dodgy decision that goes against their team. But I do honestly believe once the game is completed, you can't really do anything about it. You know, there's all these things about match fixing that went on in Italy and titles being taken away from teams years after they've been awarded. I think that doesn't really do anything to help anybody, does it? There's this thing of sporting integrity. And, to suddenly, for a team that finished second in a league championship 7 years previously, to then be told, actually, you won that league, so you get that. They didn't get to celebrate. Their fans didn't get to celebrate at the time. It's just to do with the record books at that point. I think no matter what's gone on, you just have to accept the result. I don't know where you draw the line, where you say, all right, we do need to sort something out about that, because, yes, how do you punish, you know, when match fixing was found to have happened, when referees are found to have been offered money and stuff like that? I think that's what was allegedly went on in the Italian football, and certain teams had points deducted and things taken away from them or whatever. You know, how do you know when it's serious enough to actually do something about it? I don't know, but I certainly think in terms of an offside decision or a handball or a red or a yellow card or a goal being awarded or whatever, you know, we've even got these chips in the footballs now that are supposed to signal when a ball's gone over the line. And then I remember a game a couple of years ago where the ball was over the line and the buzzer never went off on the referee's watch for some reason. It was obscured, all the cameras, and it was obscured somehow by defenders falling into the goal mouth. And even then, you know, the ball was over the line and a goal wasn't awarded. You just hope those decisions don't go against your team. You can't go on all about, no, let's replay the game, let's give out points later on, weeks later, days later, months later, whatever it is. I don't think you can do it. So, yeah, you just hope karma comes back to help Liverpool at some point later on this season. You know, we've had some decisions go our way, we've had some decisions go against us in the past. England famously had that 2010 World Cup where Frank Lampard thought he'd scored against Germany and the ball was massively over the line, bouncing down from underneath the crossbar, a good sort of half a metre over the line, and then spinning back out and not being awarded as a goal. But, you know, 1966 was England's third goal in that World Cup final against West Germany. Was that really over the line? If we'd have had technology back then revealing with a microchip in the ball where exactly the ball was, would a goal have been given? You know, Germany probably felt robbed for 44 years and then felt like karma came back to help them. I hope it's not 44 years before karma comes back to help Liverpool. But there we go. Right, let's get more music on. It's 7:05. It's the 3rd of October. This is the show that goes like this on Phoenix FM with me, Ben Simmons. And yes, everybody makes mistakes. Here's Jonas Blue and Paloma Faith.
When will I learn to stop me making the same mistakes again? Same mistakes again for you. When will I learn to lock my heart so it doesn't break again? No, doesn't break again in two. I should've known by now that I was always gonna come back around. Back in the day, you know you let me down. Thought maybe I finally figured you out. Cause you said that things would be different, but all that tends to be fiction. Breaking dishes in the kitchen, working on glass plate. You say it's space that you need and I still forget it, I'm leaving. But history keeps on repeating. When will I learn to stop me making the same mistakes again? Same mistakes again for you. When will I learn to lock my heart so it doesn't break again? No, doesn't break again in two. When will I learn that I can do better? I can do better, much better than you. When will I learn to stop me making
Phoenix FM.
Jonas Blue featuring Paloma Faith. That was Mistakes. Fabulous. Now, this has been quite a sporty show so far, and I make no apologies for that. We're now going to look at some of the most controversial incidents that have ever happened in the Premier League. I'm sure this weekend will go down in history too. But do we remember all the way back to January 1995? There are some people, as soon as I say that, will know what I'm about to talk about. Manchester United playing away at Crystal Palace. Eric Cantona fouled Richard Shaw and was sent off. As he was leaving the pitch, a fan hurled a volley of abuse from the stands at Eric Cantona. Nothing really unusual there. Obviously, people can get quite personal when insulting footballers. Some people think because they've paid money to pay for a ticket, they can shout what they like at other people and forget that they're human beings. Eric Cantona reacted badly to what Matthew Simmons, the Crystal Palace fan, shouted at him. Rather than walking off the pitch, did the now infamous Kung Fu kick into Matthew Simmons' chest and followed up by punching him as well. And people were saying that was some kind of assault and he ought to be given a prison sentence. But he was granted a 2-week prison sentence, which eventually turned into 120 hours of community service after appeal. He was given a 4-month suspension from football and a £20,000 fine by his club, Manchester United. The FA extended his ban to 9 months and fined him a further £10,000. Obviously, footballers' wages weren't quite as high as they are now in the mid-90s, but even for a Premier League footballer back then, 30 grand probably didn't affect him too much. And then, of course, he managed to turn the event into a bizarre press conference afterwards with that now infamous line, "When the seagulls follow the trawler, it's because they think sardines will be thrown into the sea." And everyone was like, "Sorry, what do you mean?" Ah, the Kung Fu kick. Matthew Simmons, spelt the same. No relation, I'm pleased to say. Yes. I wonder what ever became of Matthew Simmons. I may have a quick internet search and see what I can find out. Yes, but that's got to be one of the most controversial moments of all time in the Premier League. January 1995, Crystal Palace versus Manchester United. Eric Cantona and the Kung Fu kick. What a shocker. Here are the Beatles.
Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly, I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over me. Oh, yesterday came suddenly. Why she had to go, I don't know, she wouldn't say. I said something wrong, now I long for yesterday. Yesterday, love was such an easy game to play. I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Why she had to go, I don't know, she wouldn't say. I said something wrong, now I long for yesterday. Yesterday, love was such an easy game to play. I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday.
This is the show that goes like this with Ben Simmons.
With who?
Ben Simmons.
Oh, right.
On Phoenix FM.
Oh, yes. Now, I was talking just before that track from the Beatles, which, of course, I should thank Adrian Jekylls for suggesting on social media. But before that, talking about Matthew Simmons, the fan that was kung fu kicked by Eric Cantona in 1995, eventually came to trial in May 1996. So it happened over a year and a quarter later. During the trial, bear in mind how bad it must have been for somebody who regularly gets abuse from crowds whilst playing football. The level of abuse, what it must have reached for it to cause him to flip and, you know, run into the crowd and kick someone. Matthew Simmons claimed during the trial he had shouted, "Off, off, off! It's an early bath for you, Mr. Cantona." You just know. Everyone that heard that is like, don't be so absolutely pathetic. You obviously didn't say that, you moron. Off, off, off. It's an early bath for you, Mr. Cantona. I can't say exactly what is claimed by the defence in that court hearing. But what he actually said was, expletive off, back to France, you French expletive. He also dubbed him a French animal and his mother a French not very nice term. And that is what caused Cantona to lose it, so to speak. Simmons was handed a £500 fine at Croydon Magistrates Court for abusive behaviour and also received a year-long stadium ban. Following the verdict, I'd forgotten this, 21-year-old Simmons at the time... He's only a couple of years older than me, I'm scared. Launched himself over the bench at Cantona's lawyer, kicking and grabbing prosecutor Geoffrey McCann. McCann was dealing with his final case before retirement, looked terrified and dishevelled. Court staff took Matthew Simmons away in handcuffs. During the attack, Simmons reportedly yelled, "I am innocent, I swear on the Bible." He was then jailed for a week for the attack, had to pay a £500 fine as well as £200 in legal costs. Years later, reflecting on the incident, Eric Cantona said, "I did the kung fu kick on the hooligan because these kind of people shouldn't be at games. It's a dream for some to kick these kind of people. It's not the kind of thing you see every day." You can say that again. Off, off, off. It's an early bar for you, Mr. Cantona. Here are the Pretenders.
Don't get me wrong. Phoenix FM.
The Pretenders, and don't get me wrong, Stuart Anthony with another suggestion on social media that's made it into tonight's show. Thank you very much again, Stuart. Now, looking back at controversial moments in the Premier League, I can't believe this is 10 years ago now, back in 2013. Now, Liverpool are in the headlines at the moment for an unfair offside decision going against them. They were in the headlines for the wrong reasons in 2013 because of their forward, Luis Suarez. Now, if you're a Liverpool fan, he was a fantastic player to have in your team. I would imagine every other fan of every other team in the Premier League hated him. He scored some amazing goals and did some amazing things for Liverpool, but obviously was a controversial figure as well. If you remember, Chelsea were playing Liverpool at Anfield in 2013. They were leading 2-1. And Suarez tussled with Chelsea defender Branislav Ivanovic. And then Ivanovic looked outraged and revealed by pulling his shirt back that a bite had been taken out of his shoulder. There were teeth marks in his shoulder. And, clearly caused by Suarez inexplicably biting him. Obviously no VAR 10 years ago, the referee didn't see the incident, Suarez was allowed to remain on the pitch, and 7 minutes into stoppage time, Luis Suarez scored an equaliser. Now that, that must have been so galling for Chelsea fans, and fans of every team other than Liverpool, I would imagine. So yeah, as a Liverpool fan, I acknowledge that's terrible, he should have been sent off. What on earth was going on? Absolutely ludicrous, because as well, you could say if it was the first time he'd done it, who knows why anyone could see some kind of red mist and react like that. It wasn't the first time he'd done it. He'd previously, 3 years before, received a 7-game ban whilst playing for Ajax for biting PSV Eindhoven's Otman Bakal on the shoulder as well. And then, in the World Cup in 2014, whilst playing for Uruguay, he bit Giorgio Chiellini, the Italian defender. What on earth was wrong with him? There must be some kind of sort of animal reaction that he got to such a state of adrenaline that he couldn't control himself, but he should have sought some kind of help to prevent that from happening because you're endangering opponents. Absolutely awful. Yes, we're going to have another track and then we'll look back at something else that involved Liverpool in the Premier League 14 years ago. 14 years ago. This is another thing that was a harsh thing that happened to Liverpool and really should have been overturned. Beach ball goal. Anybody? Here's Bucks Fizz.
On the floor, and if you can better look, well, no.
community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
One of Bucks Fizz's lesser known tracks there, If You Can't Stand the Heat. Now we're looking back at controversial moments in the Premier League tonight with the goings on at Spurs v Liverpool last weekend. Do you remember this? Back from 2009. Stadium of Light, Sunderland versus Liverpool. History books show Sunderland had a 1-0 win with a goal from Darren Bent. Do you remember the circumstances of the goal? A beach ball was thrown onto the pitch. Darren Bent's shot was going straight to the goalkeeper Pepe Reina. It cannoned off the beach ball, which diverted its path into the goal, and the goal was allowed to stand. Which was even more annoying as a Liverpool fan, because the rulebook states the game must be stopped if an outside agent makes its way onto the field, something that shouldn't be on the pitch. So as soon as that beach ball interfered with play, the game should have been stopped, so the goal should not have been allowed to stand. What's even worse was it was thrown onto the pitch by a 16-year-old Liverpool fan, Callum Campbell. There we go. We're going to look a bit more quickly at some more controversial Premier League moments in the last 30 minutes of the show. We've also got to squeeze in Prediction Master and the results of tonight's intense debate. It's very close. Should VAR be scrapped? Get yourself onto Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it, at Ben Sim Radio. Single click or tap to cast your vote. Give it a repost as well, and then more people will see the poll and be able to vote on it. Should VAR be scrapped? Simple, yes or no. Have there been too many errors? Would it be better to go back to no VAR? Not sure what I believe, personally. I'll tell you once we reveal the results in about 20 minutes' time. In the meantime, here's Depeche Mode. That's just wrong.
Wrong! Wrong!
We'll be right back. Phoenix FM.
Depeche Mode with some strong feelings about what went on last weekend. We're into the final quarter of tonight's show. It's flying by for me. Hopefully it is for you lovely leg end listeners too. Thanks for being here. The show that goes like this on Phoenix FM 98.0 and phoenixfm.com, or ask your smart speaker to play Phoenix FM. Now let's go back a bit further to 1998. We've talked about 2013 and 2009 recently. Do you remember 1998? If I say Paolo Di Canio and Paul Allcock, do you know what I'm talking about? I do remember because, yes, referees have to be athletes as well. They have to keep up with the game. But there was no doubt after Di Canio shoved Paul Allcock, the way he sort of staggered backwards and fell backwards was not all that becoming of a Premier League referee, was it? But I remember that incident, yes. Di Canio had played for some huge clubs like Lazio, Juventus, Napoli and Milan. Had a successful stint at Celtic and then came to Sheffield Wednesday. He was known for having a fiery temper. But September 1998, he received a red card in the match with Arsenal and did that thing players should never, ever do. Not only put his hands on the referee, in an aggressive action, pushed the referee. And Paul Allcock was actually pushed over. Subsequently, Di Canio was banned for 11 games and fined £10,000. He never played for Sheffield Wednesday again. However, he did join West Ham in January 1999 and established himself as a club legend. So Sheffield Wednesday probably a bit miffed about that. Yes, we'll look at a couple more controversial Premier League incidents in the home stretch of tonight's show, if you like, and Prediction Master will be back after this next track. An all-time classic, of course. You can't have thought the goings-on over the weekend at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium were good, but do you agree with Michael Jackson that they were?
I'm telling you how I feel.
community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
And this is the show that goes like this with me, Ben Simmons, with you for another 21 and a half minutes and a few seconds. So keep it here, 98.0 and phoenixfm.com. Yes, we've been talking about controversial moments in the Premier League. Do you remember what is now referred to as the Battle of Old Trafford? September the 21st, 2003, Manchester United v Arsenal. Yeah, most of the noughties, Manchester United's biggest rivals were Arsenal, and games would frequently get bitter and fraught, and even more so on that day. It was players' reactions at the end of the game that led to charges from the FA. Of course, Ruud van Nistelrooy took a penalty for Manchester United and missed it, and the Arsenal defenders couldn't hide their glee that he did so, even jumping on him in the process. Martin Keown jumped on van Nistelrooy and screamed in his face. I remember that. I've got a picture of that. My mum and dad went on a stadium tour of the Emirates and were escorted round by Martin Keown, and I knew that was going to happen beforehand, and I gave my dad a picture a still of him jumping on Ruud van Nistelrooy and said, if he's not annoyed by this, could you get him to sign it? And he did sign it for me. So huge respect to Martin Keown for doing that. Yes, 6 Arsenal players and 2 from Manchester United were made to pay fines. And several bans were issued as well for the players involved. Clubs were handed a fine for failing to ensure the proper behaviour of their players. The Battle of Old Trafford, September the 21st, 2003, ended up 0-0. And when you think Manchester United had that late penalty and Van Nistelrooy missed, quite surprising. But bad feeling throughout. It was Patrick Vieira, Roy Keane, the Nevilles, you know, all that kind of stuff. Ray Parlour. I remember, hard-fought game, hard-fought battles. Amazing. Right, we're going to have another track, and there's one more incident involving a manager that I want to talk to you about that probably not all that well remembered in terms of controversy, but when I talk to you about it, if you're a football fan, you will remember it. Something that occurred back in, when was it? I can't see the year it happened, but I'll find out. But I think that was probably a good 10 years ago, maybe longer. Right, fabulous. In the meantime, here's Taylor Swift.
'Cause baby, now we got bad blood. You know it used to be mad love. So take a look what you've done. 'Cause baby, now we got bad blood. Hey, now we got problems. And I don't think we can solve them. You made a really deep cut. And baby, now we got bad blood. Hey, did you have to do this? I was thinking that you could be trusted. Did you have to ruin what was shiny? Now it's all rusted. Did you have to hit me where I'm weak? Baby, I couldn't breathe. And rub it in so deep. Salt in the wound like you're laughing right at me. Oh, it's so sad. Got scars on my back from your knife, so don't think it's in the past. These kind of wounds, they last and they last. Now did you think it all through? All these things will catch up to you, and time can heal, but this won't. So if you're coming my way, just don't. Oh, it's so sad to think about the good.
Sorry, just for show. If you live like that, you live with ghosts. Band-aids don't fix bullet holes. You say sorry, just for show. If you
community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
That was Taylor Swift and Bad Blood. Now, I did say there was one more Premier League incident I wanted to talk to you about involving a manager. I thought it was about 10 years ago. It was 2014. Do you remember this? David Myler playing for Hull City, having an altercation with then Newcastle manager Alan Pardew. Yes, Newcastle were winning 3-1. Pardew impeded Myler as he tried to retrieve a ball on the sidelines, and Myler pushed Alan Pardew out of the way. And then, rather than just sort of being the bigger person and taking it or complaining to the referee or whatever, Alan Pardew squared up to David Myler and almost headbutted him. He had his head right in his head and virtually headbutted him. It was one of those that players do sometimes, but you couldn't believe a manager did it. And many years later, David Myler has said, I don't know how old Alan Pardew was at the time, 56, 57. If he'd have dropped me, I would have never lived it down. Pardew was sent off, given a 7-game ban and a £60,000 fine. He stated afterwards, I apologise to everyone, I should not have got involved in it. Pretty bad though, isn't it? A manager getting physically involved with a player, and not just that, but virtually headbutting him. Apparently, he thought it was a joke, but 8 days later, David Myler was contacted by the police to ask if he wanted to press charges. He declined. Do you remember that? Now, we've seen incidents with Arsene Wenger and Jose Mourinho as managers getting annoyed with each other. We've seen David Moyes getting annoyed on the touchline. You often see Premier League managers getting annoyed with each other and having a bit of argy-bargy, but managers getting involved with players is extremely rare. That's why I remember that one and wanted to talk to you about it tonight. Right, quite a few more tracks still to squeeze in. We haven't heard from Prediction Master yet either, have we? In the meantime, here's Ed Sheeran.
Every time you come around, you know I can't say no. Every time the sun goes down, I let you take control. I can feel the paradise before my world implodes. And tonight had something wonderful. My bad habits lead to late nights, sitting alone. Conversations with a stranger I barely know. Swearing this will be the last, but it probably won't. I got nothing left to lose or use, or do my bad habits lead to white eyes staring at space? And I know I lose control of the things that I say. Yeah, I was looking for a way out, now I can't escape. sending alone. Conversations with a stranger I barely know. Swearing this will be the last, but it probably won't. I got nothing left to lose or use, or do my bad habits lead to white eyes staring at space?
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
That was Ed Sheeran and Bad Habits. Now it's time for this.
Prediction Master.
Well, it's fair to say Prediction Master hasn't featured for a few weeks on the show that goes like this. And also, looking back at the stats, shockingly, Prediction Master has a 50-50 record right now. So can we get it to swing in the favour of a positive result? Obviously, the Rugby World Cup is ongoing. I've been surprised. I know rugby is an extremely physical sport and players probably need more time to recover between matches than other sports. But it goes on for a long time, doesn't it? The group stages haven't even finished yet. Anyway, very shortly, Ireland will be playing Scotland in the Rugby World Cup and the conclusion of their group stage. Prediction Master is saying Ireland will win. Now, you may think that's not that difficult a prediction because Ireland are one of the highest ranked teams in the world at the moment, but Scotland aren't doing so badly themselves right now. Remember, England finished fourth in the last Six Nations, so they're by no means dominant or anything like that. Ireland and Scotland considerably ranked better than the likes of England at the moment. Obviously, France ranked pretty highly. South Africa ranked pretty highly. Australia having a bit of a lull. You never know what's going to happen with New Zealand. But yes, Ireland, Scotland, the last game in their pool. I'm saying, Prediction Master is saying, Ireland to win. Will the stats swing in the favour of the Prediction Master after that? Ireland to win. Come back next week for the result.
Prediction Master.
Okay, we're now going to hear from Bon Jovi, then we've got to get to summing up the show and finding out the results of the intense debate.
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
And yes, that was Bon Jovi, You Give Love a Bad Name. Well, we're almost at the end of tonight's show. I've got to tell you the result of the intense debate. Should VAR be scrapped? This doesn't happen very often on the show that goes like this. We've had a 50-50 split on that poll. Some people think it should, some people think it shouldn't. Didn't go one way or the other. Very rare, a complete sit-on-the-fence result, 50-50. So, undecided, really. Maybe it will be scrapped. Maybe actually, I can categorically say they won't get rid of it. They'll just say, oh, we won't let that happen again. We've got procedures in place. Anyway, there we go. Well, a lot has happened in the show tonight. We've learned all kinds of wacky holidays, the likes of Global Smoothie Day, National Butterfly and Hummingbird Day, National Fruit at Work Day, and of course, the slightly ridiculous Skincare Awareness Week occurs all week. And in October, it's Crime Prevention Month. Don't ask me why. Scott Fish reported back from the Ryder Cup and caused an international incident. Prediction Master says Ireland will beat Scotland. And we're all upset about VAR. Yes, especially if Liverpool fans. So, a song to play us out that's suitable. Well, VAR had one. Here's Daniel Powter. Rob's up next.
Where is the moment we need it the most? You kick up the leaves and the magic is lost. Tell me your blue skies fade to grey. Tell me your passion's gone away. And I don't need no care or none. You stand in the line just to hit a new low. You're faking a smile with the coffee to go. Tell me your life's been way off. You had a bad day. You take it one down. You sing a sad song just to turn it around. You say you don't know. You tell me don't lie. You work at a smile and you go for a ride. You had a bad day. The camera don't lie. You come back down and you really don't mind. You had a bad day. You had a bad day. Cause you had a bad.